Music recorded live in Studio A from Freefall. Thank you. We're joined now by the musicians James Whiten, Greg Williams, Mooney Kolasinghe. What does Mussorgsky have to do with what we've just experienced or are about to experience? Where the hell does this guy come into it?
One of the great Russian composers. He, it's funny, he wrote this piece, Pictures at an Exhibition, and he wrote it for piano, having no idea that everyone would eventually end up listening to the orchestrated version many years later. But the idea was that the experiencer of the music is walking through a hall and watching different paintings as they go through. And so I liked that idea a lot because I love improvised music, but in freely improvised music, generally the complete lack of structure kind of leaves me feeling a little ungrounded throughout the process. And so I like the idea of little vignettes that we would know and be experienced with and then be able to approach them newly every time.
So the term for this trio right now is free fall, but it's a little more like hang gliding.
Yeah, we do have a support structure. That's true. Maybe I should rethink the name.
I think we just got the name.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hang glider.
Hang glider.
Hang glider.
All right, so this is not the three musicians coming in working cold against a palette. But what are the elements that you all three know when you're going in? You have the pictures. Okay, I can understand you have these pictures, but what are these pictures made of for you guys?
They're made of different, I mean specifically different meters and an assigned key, which and different feels. Each one has its own feel. And that's it. And then we every time can make up what we feel is happening at that moment. It really is kind of like that.
There was a moment before the true recording started when you were doing some sound check, and in fact, pictures at an exhibition started leaking out of the instruments. and I think one of you said, I wonder if we should reference that a little more expressly, and at least tonight you held back, but is... Is it tempting as an improviser? I know in classic jazz, you know, the homage, the reference is like half the fun. But in working in this neighborhood, is that something that you specifically are like, that's cheesy as improvisers to do that?
Absolutely not. I love making references. I think for not speaking for the other two gentlemen, I was just scared I was going to mess it up. So, I
yeah, it modulates very strangely. But I think the thing is, you know, if we do reference something popular, we get to then use that. It becomes another element or structural element. Really, it can be. I mean, and if it occurs to us at that moment, then we probably will run with it because it'd be really fun.
Well, some of these. Sections or exhibits are very much on the funky side. You know, some of them are like barbecue, as we were saying. and then some of them are like French cuisine, like very classical sounding. Hmm. Now, to me, that's a feel. And because you're all such flexible musicians, is that something, I mean, do you know that in the ninth piece, that you're going, no, you're shaking your head, no, we're not going to go that way.
I don't think we, I just wanted to clarify, like, even hitting a piece of music that we all know, like, that's not something we would ever want to have planned. Unless, perhaps, you know, specifically, like, Pictures at an Exhibition. But even that feels weird to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the idea is just more that these little vignettes represent seeds. And so, however we choose to have those seeds grow tonight is the way...
Or however they do grow.
Know, and so the tempos are you know, very variable between performances. So we've now, as of, you know, this tonight was our fourth performance because we rehearsed by playing it all the way through twice, and then we performed it live last night at the Tanix, and then, you know, live here for you tonight. So every time it's different, and we really go in not having any idea, not only what tempo the different vignettes are going to be, or how, you know, harmonically we're going to embellish the general key center with within that vignette, but also the transitions are completely open, and every time it's brand new how we get from one picture to the next.
And listening, I noticed that sometimes I could feel the seam, maybe twice I could tell, okay, there's the seam. But the other times I was like, well, is something new happening now, or did it start happening 2 minutes ago?
I think we're all the same. We all think that too. Half the time I'm like, is he going on? What's going on?
Now, we have three musicians in here, but they're actually, there's a fourth player here. And James, that is your loop machine. And the loop machine is essentially stupid and dumb, and it will do what you tell it to do. You know, there's no AI in the damn machine for you. So is it a real pain in the ass to work with a musician who is that dumb and that predictable doing this kind of work? I mean, it ain't here, so we can talk freely.
No, well, that's, you know, the thing that's frustrating about it is that when a mistake is made, I know it's user error. And so, I mean, that it really is the beauty of that machine. It does precisely what I do. So if what I do is a little skelter, then it will skelter and skelter and skelter for the next however long until I tell it to stop. It presents a challenge because, you know, when I hit that record button, it has to be right the first time. Otherwise, I'll hear that mistake.
Greg, you're running drums and percussion through this, and you're dealing with two bass players at the same time. In effect, one of them very stupid, and the other one is a machine. So,
oh.
So how do you navigate these two brilliant artists who are playing bass at the same time?
I think I just have to really use my ears as much as I can, because I don't always know when he's going to start looping, and that's the hardest part, because I just like his playing in general. So if he starts looping something and then solos, as a listener, I just like hearing the solo, so I have to really focus on not listening to the solo, which is counterintuitive in a way when you're playing towards a solo, you know? So, because I like mimicking what he's doing or trying to play off his solo, but in this context, I can't, because I have to be with him, with the machine, I guess. And I don't always get it, but, you know?
The last question is, that working in this context, because I know you all from, I mean, you're such ranging musicians, the number of things and styles you can play in. Are you going to wake up, for instance, James, in the middle of the night and go, I have to compose something around that 4 minutes, and it's stuck in your head, and it's a groove, does work that begins in this ensemble conceivably become something larger or something else?
That's a great. I think I approach every time I start to think about getting together with a group of musicians, I start either pulling from existing compositions or composing for that group, because people play so differently. Some things that certain group of people will play beautifully, another group of people just won't have the life, which is what's great about these are a couple of my favorite musicians, and they could play literally anything that you know, and so I have that freedom to, you know, some musicians are very great at playing sparse and playing very tastefully, other musicians are great at playing with fire, but here I have two guys that, you know, bridge both of those and do them just with such taste and sublimity. They're just great, is what I'm trying to say. And so it gave me a lot of freedom, but I also knew that that I could exploit the strengths of these guys. So that's why I just started coming up with these seeds, and some of them are existing things that I've pulled from prior recordings or prior, you know, collaborations that I've done, and some were I came up with brand new for this, and then that idea struck me of just playing through the vignettes, because normal songwriting is about, well, I take the A section and then the B section and I have this form and then we cue the bridge, and you know, and I just started feeling such anxiety about that, like, you know, why would I, you know, I know this is going to sound great and this, but how do I fit them together? And then I just came on that pictures at an exhibition idea, and I thought, if there's a band that could pull that off, that had the listening and the sensitivity to, you know, not know going in what we're doing, but have it sound cohesive for 55 minutes of music or whatever. I mean, that's, you know.
And this is only the fourth time you've played together with this head, at least as musicians. What do you think you'd sound like the 15th time you play together?
I can hardly wait to find out.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. I mean, it's just blossoming.
This is the first time I felt really comfortable. I mean, started to feel comfortable.
Yeah, because I was still uncomfortable in it.
Yeah. but I'm loving it. Yeah, it's just,
I want to keep doing it and do some cool shows and, you know, play for people.
Bye.
You're listening to Free Fall, recorded live in our own Studio A on the 7th of April. Free Fall R. James Whiten on bass and loops. Mooney Kalazinga on violin. Greg Williams on drums and percussion, recorded by Roman Garcia with Chip Borton, Ty Marino, and Jefferson White.